Chapter number 14, if you will. Matthew chapter number 14. Amen. I enjoyed preaching this morning. From the looks of some of your faces, y'all didn't enjoy it near as much as I did. But anyhow, it was one of them things. I had some folks call me that watched it on Facebook Live, and just a lot of folks got, I don't know if they got help out of it, but they had never seen it that way and different things. So there was a good response to that. I appreciate everybody that was here. Man, it was exciting to see a packed building on a time change Sunday, especially you expect a full building when you fall back, because people that are late can show up on time, amen. But when you spring forward now, most time you miss out on church. We had a packed house this morning, and I had a bunch of people up in the balcony, and man, that was a blessing, and I sure appreciate that, and appreciate you being in your place, all right? If you're Matthew chapter number 14, I want you to say amen. The Bible says, reading in verse number 22 is where we'll start. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. This whole sermon I'm going to preach, we're going to read on down through 33, but I got in this in devotion, and I just want to point this out, that Christ also had a designated time alone that he prayed. And let me say this to all of us, myself included. Prayer time is fine, and it's fine done around a table, but we need to have some prayer time where we're alone. And it's just us, and the purpose of it is prayer and getting with God. And let me encourage that. The Bible says in verse number 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, which means that it was against them. The verse number 25 says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. As I was doing my study and doing my devotion this week, the retreat that we were at, their whole theme, and I think I shared this with my Sunday school class, the whole thought was to get you to just stop. And it was very difficult for me. My mind doesn't work that way. I like to keep my mind busy, because if I don't keep my mind busy and keep myself going, then tends to be a time where old Satan can get on me and discourage me. And so I try to keep myself busy, probably to a fault. But this whole retreat was set up to a place where they wanted you to come in and do absolutely nothing. I mean, they didn't want you to do anything. They didn't want you to pick up a pitcher of tea and pour tea for yourself. And they wanted you to spend the time in prayer and meditation and doing things. And, you know, it was very difficult. I won't lie to you. It was not something that I was wanting to do. Matter of fact, Tuesday, I think it was, I slipped out, went and played golf, and then met somebody and coon hunted Tuesday night. So anyhow, it was something that I just couldn't just stop. But they had some good points in the thing about, you know, our body needs rest. And to be honest with you, I mean, that's the way God designed us. He created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. And he set aside a day of rest for us in the Sabbath. And in the Old Testament, that was a day that they were to do nothing. They were to just to rest, a day of rest. And I think oftentimes, and myself included in this, I just get so busy and everything else, I stay busy. And it might be good in some aspects, but in others, it's probably not the best thing. But as I was sitting there doing devotions and doing these things, I was challenged with some of the devotions that we were given and some of the things that they had spoke to us about. And one of them had to do with this topic, not this passage of scripture. This was a passage of scripture that I chose because when I thought about it, this is exactly where I thought. But it dealt with failure or fears, excuse me. It dealt with fears. And so I made a Facebook post, and some of y'all seen that thing and responded to it. There was a bunch of people that responded to it outside of the church, preachers and different things. And I asked the question, what is your greatest fear? And I shared mine. My greatest fear is failure. Of everything that I have, that's my greatest fear. Is that I am going to fail, whether it be in ministry, whether it be as a husband, whether it be as a father, no matter what it is, I have this fear of failure. It has driven me to work harder and work more diligently, but it is a fear that I had. And what I found was that probably, I would say all, of the preachers that responded on that, every single one of them, their greatest fear was the same thing. A lot of people that responded that what I would call laymen or so folks that are in the church, their greatest fear was missing the will of God or not being in the will of God. And so we all have our fears that we have to cope with. But this fear of failure was something that I shared, and I don't mind sharing it again. It's something that I would say is my greatest fear. As I'm looking at this and I'm thinking about this, I also feel like, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that without failures, there can't be successes. And my greatest fear is failure, but without failure, there's not success. And when you look at life and understand that our failures, we're all afraid. We're all afraid or have a fear of failure, but it's often the failures is what drives us, and it's often the failures is what motivates us or whatever to get it right. Somebody say amen right there if you understand what I'm saying. Let me give you some things that some quotes, and you may have heard these before, but this is from Thomas Edison, the inventor of the incandescent light bulb. He says this when asked about the light bulb and asked about the invention or them coming to the conclusion and a successful light bulb. He said this, he says, I have not failed. He said, I've just found 10,000 ways that it won't work. he said, I've not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that it won't work. Another good quote that I pulled off of his was this. If we did all the things we are really capable of doing, we would literally astound ourselves. That kind of set with me. I had to think about that for a minute and think, am I astounding myself? I want to reach my full potential. I don't know about you, but I want to reach my full potential. No matter what it is, whether it's being a father, whether it's being a husband, whether it's being a pastor, whether it's being a Sunday school teacher, I want to meet my full potential. I want to be all that God wants me to be, all right? Not just the army. I want to be all God wants me to be, all right? This was another one that he said this. He said, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. That was another one that just kind of resonated and stayed with me there for a while. And I got to thinking on this whole thought of a fear of failure. I can imagine, we've already read the scripture here in Matthew chapter number 14, but here they are. You have to picture what's going on here. Christ has motivated them. The Bible calls it constrain them, which means to physically tell them or convey to them to get on the boat. All right. More like a get on the boat or else. And here we see a storm that comes up, a storm that's contrary to the direction that they're trying to go in. So there was a lot of hard work and a lot of labor that was going on to move this boat, or just to stay afloat, I guess you would say. And yet they weren't getting anywhere. I mean, that's what the whole thing, that contrary wind, the whole mindset is that they were working very hard, but they were getting nowhere. Yeah. They were working because the wind was against them. They were working very hard, but they were getting nowhere. And Jesus comes walking out. I remember I preached this one time, and I preached out of this passage of scripture one time, and I preached that he came out on the fourth night of the watch instead of the fourth watch of the night. And somebody told me Jesus waited a long time to be showing up. But he comes walking on the water, and they see him, and they suppose him to be a ghost, is what they said. The Bible says a spirit. They seen him and thought he was a ghost. They was afraid. But Peter, he spoke to them, he said, be not afraid. So we know they were fear. We know that they were dealing with fear. He said, be not afraid, it is I. And Peter says, Lord, if it be thou. Now, I don't believe Peter was questioning whether it was the Lord, but I think it was more of a so, Lord, I want to be out there with you if you'll let me. And so he said, if it be thou, bid me come out onto the water. And Jesus said, come. Out of the 12 that were in the boat, and there was more that was in the boat than just the 12, but out of the 12, only Peter stepped out on the water. Now hear me out, and you might have heard this before, and I probably touched on it in sermons before, but I look at this and I think about the other ones that were in the boat. I don't know about you, but which everything's competition with me. I mean, if there's a frog out in the road, two frogs, we're going to race them, all right? I mean, that's just how I am. I'm a competitive person. And I'm just saying, it might not have happened this way, but if it was me in the boat with Peter and Peter got to jump out of the boat, I think I would have done it too, tried to beat him out there. Somebody say amen. I mean, that's just how I am. But I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking there was 11 other men in that boat that knew who Christ was. There was 11 other people in that boat that had seen the power of God. They had seen Christ work miracles. They had seen him do great things. If anybody knew that he was capable of keeping them above water, then it was them 12 men. But out of those 12 men, only one of them got out of the boat. And the other 11 stayed in the boat. Why? I think it was a fear of failure. I think it was a fear of failure. Something that's never been done before, walking on water. Something that's never been documented or seen up until this time. And here Jesus said, come on out here. And they, I don't know if I can do that. Now let's put it in our lap. How many times has God impressed upon you and inspired you and motivated you to do something, and yet you sit in there in the boat? I don't know about that. I don't know. Maybe it ain't never been done before. And you say, I ain't got no precedent for that. I ain't got nothing I can follow that said that that's been done before. Or maybe it's just a fear that you individually would fail. You know, we've done a great job in promoting and the church, and I'm saying this sarcastically, but we've done a great job in getting people so worried about stepping out in faith and working because of our imperfections. Let me tell you what I mean by that. A preacher will stand up and tell you, you can do this, but you better be, man, you better be walking with God like you're supposed to be walking with God. And you better be doing, you better be, in other words, what they're trying to say is, you better be perfect in your walk or you're going to fall. But as I've seen in my Sunday school class, and as I've taught in my Sunday school class, Abraham, the one that we sing about, the one that we talk about, the Bible over and over again, from Old Testament to New Testament, Abraham is mentioned over and over and over again. And yet, in my Sunday school class, we're seeing all the failures of Abraham. I mean, a man who after 60-something years of marriage, 70 years of marriage, just hands his wife over to another man. Says, that's my sister. You can have her. And the list just goes on and on of his failures. And the fact of the matter is that God greatly used Abraham in spite of his failures. Moses is the same way. We look at Moses. He's the deliverer of Israel. But yet Moses had all kind of problems in his life as well. Moses killed a man with his bare hands and buried him in the sand. Not only did he commit murder, but then he tried to cover it up in a live sand. And he tried to cover it up as if nothing happened. I mean, you even go further. God dealt with Moses about the circumcision of his child to the point where God was fixing to kill him. He had a command to do something and he didn't obey and God was fixing to kill him. And so this was a man that had failures in his life throughout his ministry. A matter of fact, the Bible even tells us that he was not able to go into the land of Canaan because of some of his failures. But yet Moses is spoken of as the greatest prophet. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that success and doing for God comes with failures. Nobody's perfect. It doesn't matter who you are in this building. Nobody expects you to be perfect. Nobody expects you to live up to some perfection thing. What we want and what I want is for you to reach your potential. What I want in my life is for me to reach my potential. But I do know this, that if we have fear of failure, it paralyzes us. There was 11 men that stayed in the boat just like this. 11 men that knew the power of God. 11 men that had seen evidence of the Son of God and his work. And yet they stayed in the boat just like this in fear of even moving. Can you imagine? Listen to me. Y'all help me now. Y'all got to help me preach tonight. Can you imagine what could have been accomplished by the 11 if they had the faith of Peter? We talk about Peter. We look at this passage of scripture and we've all heard a preacher preach this passage of scripture about how Peter didn't have no faith. Are you serious? Peter was outside the boat. I mean, yes, God did rebuke him. Yes, Jesus said, oh, ye a little faith. But he was the only one that was outside the boat. You talk about Peter all you want to, but bless God, he had enough faith to step out. And none of them had it.
That's right.
11 people standing in that boat with 12, and one steps out and the rest of them just sit there. I thought me and my mama was talking about it. My mama called me and she's watching tonight. I was coming back from the funeral and she didn't call me. I called her. And she had sent me a message and I called her and I was talking to her about this thing. And I made this statement to my mama and I said, Mama, what if the Sermon of Pentecost was meant for John to preach? And John didn't get out of the boat. And so Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come out. Jesus said, come. And Peter jumped out. And nobody else did. And Jesus said, he'll be the one.
Huh.
What if that sermon was meant for one of them other men to preach? What if that accomplishment, 3,000 people got, y'all come on now. If I ever get to, Billy Graham just died. There's people that have. There's people that get upset with it. I don't know what the man believed. All I do know is this. There wasn't a clearer plan of salvation delivered by anybody than Billy Graham. And people got saved under the ministry of Billy Graham. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people. You might disagree with him on the topic or whatever. I don't care. The fact of the matter is that God used the man greatly. And if my life can be half as used as Billy Graham, then I'd be satisfied and say that count my life as a success. But as we look at it, I wonder how many Billy Grahams are sitting right here. Now are you getting where I'm going with this? How many Billy Grahams is sitting right in here? How many great D.L. Moody's and different preachers or just how many? How about that Sunday school teacher that you grew up with that was just one of the most godly women you've ever been around in your entire life? She was just the epitome of Proverbs chapter number 31. She was the perfect godly woman if there ever was one. How many of those are sitting right in here? But because of a fear of failure, we're paralyzed to the point that we won't even try anything. Y'all help me now. Do you realize that there's so many things that we want to do here at this church. This church has been through a lot of failures. I'm talking about since I've been here. I ain't dealing with what happened before I was here. I'm talking about since I have been here. You don't know it because it was no different than you. To you, it was just another day at church. But we have tried to implement this or implement that or do this or do that, and it's failed. But I think that our church is a success. I think that if you look at the body as a whole, we've done some great things. We've seen some great things. God has done a great work here. But it came with a lot of failures. Now, my greatest fear is failure, but I've never been one that was so scared that I wouldn't try something. And so what I'm imploring to you tonight is this. I want you to get over this fear of failure. There's a Sunday school teacher that's sitting in this building tonight. But you're not a Sunday school teacher on our roll. But God, that's what God has for your life. There's a man sitting in here that you called to preach. But you ain't enrolled in the preacher college. And you've not told anybody that you called to preach. But God's, is everybody with me? There's some great people sitting right in here in this building. But if we don't identify our fears and get over them, we'll stay in the boat the rest of our lives. And at the end of our lives, we'll look back and say, I wish I had done this. I wish I had done this. I wish I would have. If I told you how many times I've heard this, I wish I would have sold out to the Lord when I was younger. Well, how about now? How about a surrendered life now? How about surrendering to God now? But we got so many excuses. Well, at my age, preacher, I just don't know that I can do that. Preacher, I'd be willing to try it if only my finances wasn't as bad as they are. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all this. I remember Al Morris. And anyhow, I was wanting a Harley Davidson. And I said, man, I can't wait. I said, I'm going to wait till I can afford a Harley. He said, man, that's like waiting to afford a child. He said, if you wait till you can afford a child, you'll never have one. I said, you're right. Went out next week and bought a Harley. Amen. But anyhow, so if only my finances. How about, well, if I was able to. The fact of the matter is that it really surprise you at what you're able to do. Well, I don't like taking risks. I don't know to anybody that does. But without risk, there's no rewards. Come on now. But what if I fail, preacher? What if I sink? Or how about this one? What's others going to think about it? How others going to feel about it? Some of the excuses that we give. I want to give you a verse. Proverbs chapter number 24 and verse number 16 says this. For a just man faileth, or falleth rather, seven times and riseth up again. Says, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Is there going to be failures in your life? Absolutely. Are you going to fall? Absolutely. The Bible says a just man, though, rises up again. Preacher, I'd be a failure in a Sunday school class, no more than any of the rest of us.
Right.
You get in there and you fall on your face, and then you get up.
That's right.
Yes. You rise. Oh, I'm feeling some preaching right here. I remember, and I probably use this. I apologize if it's not good. Just think of something else. In football, we had something that they called grass drills. And those grass drills, everybody hated them. They were used for punishment. And they used it for everybody. So if Dalton didn't do his job, then the whole defense had to do grass drills, all right? So it made everybody hate each other. And that's all it accomplished. But anyhow, in a grass drill, what would happen is that you would run in place, and the coach would blow a whistle. And when he blew that whistle, you would jump off your feet and land on your chest on the ground. And then you wouldn't stay there. You popped up and went back to running. That was a grass drill. That was one. And they would do it over and over again. And we'd sit there and we'd run in place, and he'd blow the whistle. Boom, we'd hit the ground and jump back up. And we'd keep on and keep on, and he'd done it. I mean, they'd do it until people were puking. They'd do it until people were having heat exhaustion and everything else. I mean, they would just, put it on us. I think some people I've heard it called up downs. They called it grass drills with us. But the whole purpose of that drill was to teach us that you're going to get down. You're going to end up on the ground. At some point in your life, yo.
Come on. Preach. Come on.
I wish I'd have seen this spiritually.
Yes, sir.
When I was doing them stupid things. But the point of it is that life will knock you down. And at some point in your life, you're going to end up on your face. But you make a decision as to whether you get up or whether you stay there. And when it comes to a team, everybody else is counting on you to get up. Because for that team to be successful, all 11 players have to be eligible and ready to make a tackle. Is somebody with me? And if you stay down there, if you allow yourself to be knocked down and you stay on the ground, then the team suffers. You're needed. Hey, even in your failures, you're needed. I ain't even going to give y'all no points. That's all introduction. There's a lot of things that'll keep us from reaching our full potential with God. Circumstances kept them 11 men in the boat. There was a storm going on around them. High seas, winds blowing. It kept them. It kept them in that boat, and it kept them paralyzed. And I say this, don't think for one minute that the devil's going to allow your circumstances to be peaceful. I need somebody to help me right there. Don't think for one minute that the devil's ever going to allow your circumstances to be peaceful. If he can scare you into not getting out of the boat, trust me, that's exactly what he's going to do. Your circumstances will keep you in the boat. Your companions will keep you in the boat. There was one person that got out, 11 that stayed in the boat. Could you imagine you had John sitting in the boat? Somebody probably looked at it and said, well, if John ain't getting out, I ain't getting out. He had James in the boat, his brother Jesus. If his own flesh and blood ain't getting out, I'm not getting out. Thomas was like, don't even look at me.
I sure ain't doing it. Can you imagine? But here's the thing. We allow the fear of others to keep us from our potential. Somebody failed at something and they shared that with you, and because of their failure, right now you're unwilling to try it. Oh, it is good. Let me tell you, I read this illustration and it was monkeys. It goes great with a Baptist church, all right? They put four monkeys in this room and they hung some bananas. Have y'all seen this? Have y'all heard this? Have I shared this? Sorry, I'm losing my mind. Anyhow, they put bananas, of course, it's a monkey. They put bananas up at the top and a pole up in the middle of this thing. Them monkeys, they turned them monkeys loose in there and they were hungry. They turned them loose hungry in there. So them monkeys, they come running in there and all of them started trying to climb that pole to get to them bananas. And when they jump up on that pole, they would take a high pressure water hose, like a fire hydrant hose, and they'd spray them monkeys and just knock them off of the pole. And the next one would come running up there and boom, they'd blast him off. And the next one would come up, boom, and they continued on. And then monkeys kept fighting. They'd keep trying to go back to that. And then eventually they got tired of being knocked off of that pole. They associated the pain with that pole, and so they all stopped trying to get the food. The next day, they took one of the monkeys out and put a brand new monkey in there. That monkey come in there, and he took off to run to go to that pole, and when he did, one of the other monkeys grabbed him. They never even turned on the water. The other monkeys protected him and wouldn't allow him to get to the pole. The next day, they took out another one and replaced it with a new monkey. And they continued on until on the fourth or fifth day, all the monkeys had never experienced the first day and the water hose. And yet, none of them would try to get the food because of the others. We let other people's experiences dictate our performance. And because other people have had failures in their life, other people have experienced pain and heartache, you and I won't even try. Four brand new monkeys had never experienced being hit with a water hose, food sitting at the top of a pole, and not one of them would even attempt to get to it because of the experiences of those around them. Our circumstances, our companions, our complacency. It's easier to stay in the boat. It's easier not to rock. It's easier to just go through life just like you are. Let's not. I know several millionaires, and I ain't bragging because none of them will give me any money. All right, I'm just telling you. I've talked to them, and near about every one of them, you know what a common denominator for all of them are? They've been bankrupt. It's crazy. But many of the people that we look at and see and think, man, they just got it all together and they're so rich, they've had failures in their life. Some of them, one of them I know, three times. But he's still, I need somebody to help me. He's not living in that failure today. Complacency. And I put confusion. Bible said that Peter looked around him. He seen the sea was boisterous. He took his eyes off of Jesus. I'm done with this thought. When the things around us, the distractions and those things around us, when they get bigger in our eyes than the God we serve, we've set ourselves up for failure and will stay in the boat. Tonight I want to encourage you. I don't want the fear of failure to keep me from my potential with God. I'm willing in front of you all to say this with all, I'm willing to fail at some things if it means pleasing God and finding success. Of all 12 of them, the only one willing to step out in faith, the only one willing to get out of the boat, listen to me right here, he was the only one willing to get close to Jesus. Ended up denying him, ended up cussing him. But God used Peter to preach the gospel more than any other of the 12. What are you forfeiting tonight by staying in the boat? Preacher, I'm scared I'm going to fail. Me too. But I'm not going to let my fear of failure dictate my potential with God. If I have to fail, if I have to fall on my face, I'll just get up. And as Thomas Edison said, I'll know that's one more way that I can't do it. God help us to reach our potential. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Dalton going to get on the piano. How about coming around the altar tonight? Somebody get on the piano. God help me not let my fear keep me from God's will. It's scary outside the boat. I've learned it's scary inside the boat. But outside the boat, they were with him. I'd rather be outside the boat with Jesus than sitting in the boat without him. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, thank you for tonight. God, you've dealt with me on my failures, my fears. God, I pray, Lord, that I not allow my fear to hinder me from doing what you would have me to do. God, I pray for some folks that are in here. Lord, I know you have a purpose for their life. My fear for them is that they'll allow their fears to keep them from your purpose. God, I want to see the success of every person in here. Lord, not financially. Although that's nice, that's not what the pastor wants. God, I want to see them spiritually a success, closer to you, doing what you've called them to do, doing what you've purposed for them to do. God, I thank you for the people that I get to serve with. Lord, that make my job easier. Those that encourage, Lord, encourage me to push on and go higher. Keep moving forward. God, I pray that, Lord, I inspire them as much as they inspire me to continue on, to keep reaching, to keep climbing, to keep going forward. Lord, we thank you that you kept going. but you kept climbing. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that we draw closer to you during this time and not allow fears to paralyze us. What better place to be than out on the water with you? God, I pray that you'd bless this service. Lord, may we take home what we've heard tonight, apply it to our lives, and reach our potential. Lord, we'll be sure to thank you for it. We'll be sure, Lord, to praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.